times we burn over and over only to return.
All right, guys, welcome back to another episode of Fans United, the lucky number 13. Here we go. A week later than last week, so we're back on schedule.
Hey, wait a minute. Isn't it always a week later than last week, just as a general rule?
It should be, yeah, but we missed out a few before then, so...
But who's counting?
Yeah, so we have Eric Hunsaker, right, as always, on location tonight, right, Eric?
Right on.
And Devin McTavish, of course, with us. That's the trio.
Hello.
I guess we can our first topic. Instead of just jumping right into a topic, let's see what you guys are up to, man. Anything, any newsworthy kind of stuff going on? Anything fun? Non-soccer related.
Well, I was out in the soccer community today. I was over at Soccer Post DC, and I was chatting with Eric over there, who's that guy who's usually behind the counter. Really knows his stuff, you know. He's always telling me about the leather uppers on some shoes. And, you know, I dig his passion. And anyway, he told me that he'd been talking with Devin about Devin's play on the pitch tournament coming
up. Hello.
Nice.
I know, that was pretty cool.
There we go.
Word's getting out, huh?
Yeah, they're trying to help me out. You know, we're in cahoots and trying to figure out some details. So,
nice.
Yeah, playonthepitch.com. Check it out, everyone.
Definitely.
Yeah, that's what Eric said. He said you can go to playonthepitch.com, find out more about it. So that was pretty cool.
We might need a cameraman there, you know, to get some footage. So
right on.
If you guys know anyone, just let me know.
I was just going to say, if you know one, just let me know.
I might have to take the Craigslist, but I'm sure we can find somebody.
Hey, let's go Michael Bay on it and start blowing some stuff up.
There you go.
Speaking of, go ahead, Chris.
Oh, I was just speaking of play on the pitch. Obviously, I had that on one of my notes for the show, but I realized, like, I don't know any girls that could join our team if we decided to put together a Fans of United team. So I remembered that my boss at work, she plays soccer, co-ed, so I asked if we got a team, would she be interested? And she seemed a little hesitant, but she said she knows a couple of D1 girls that she plays with that would probably be better. So,
all right.
Have you ever met the illustrious...
You're getting some ringers, Chris.
I hope so, right?
Yeah.
You ever met the Mrs. Hunsaker?
Yeah. I've been waiting back for you guys, too. I told my boss, I said, the only woman I know is my buddy and his wife. They're the only people that I know that play that includes a woman.
Yeah, she did indoor this year, and she's a bit of a badass.
Right.
She's still got it.
Yeah, I'm hoping you guys will come along, man. Sign up. I don't want to.
What is it? I'm going to quote Magic 8-Ball. We'll see.
Right.
I'd love to. That's another one. I'd love to.
All right. And maybe we'll have Devin as our coach, huh?
I think I could sit on this. I could schedule it so in my downtime I could be on the sidelines for your guys' games. I think I can handle that.
Ah, cool.
Right. Yeah. I got some pull around those parts, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Hey, you could be the air open all to our Cal FC, you know?
Let's build a team and go on a run. I like that.
Yeah, there you go.
We're gonna do it, man.
Speaking of on a run, hello.
good segue.
Nice. You guys are.
Yeah. How many in a row have DC United won?
We don't. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. We don't look at numbers.
I know it's at least two.
That's
where
maybe.
I stopped counting.
It could be. It was a good win, though, huh? What do you guys think?
I thought it was kind of the reverse of what we've always had happen, right? Even in the opening game this year, you know, it was like the story of DC United's past couple seasons. Late goal, you know, they dominate the game or play better. Maybe dominate's not the word. And then they give up a late goal and lose. But this time it was kind of the opposite, right? Didn't play so well, but like, you know, BMAC said, it just felt good to steal a game, you know?
Yeah.
And again, you point to that's like, there's another thing that playoff teams do, and you look back and you say, that's an example of, you know, those close games that they won instead of losing. You know, all these kind of things that are happening, you try to notice them now instead of looking back later. But when in a late game where you're not playing very well and just squeaking a goal in, you know, that's a great way to get points, man. On the road, you know, revenge.
Here's the thing that stood out to me, is I turned on the coverage, and I immediately heard those familiar drums, and I heard those familiar songs. I'm like, oh, my goodness, that is coming out across the broadcast. I mean, I know those drums. I know those drums anywhere. You know what I mean?
Right. They were out in force. They were out in force. It was good. It was good to see that.
And
not that
I
it's ever like that, but I feel like there was a good showing up in Philly.
There was a great showing. You know what? I think it made a significant impact on the way the guys played. I mean, I really did. I heard a lot of them talking afterwards and mentioning that and saying, you know what? When the fans are there like that, it just gives us a little extra, you know, push, a little extra incentive, a little extra energy. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
I feel like, you know, it might have tipped the scales a little bit.
Yeah, Eric, you know, we went to Philly, and we were commenting on that from the press box, like how the acoustics were amazing there.
Yeah.
It's an open-air place right next to the river, but we went to the U.S. Women versus China, and you could hear people
very much clear,
you know.
Hear the fans.
And so I could just imagine. And we talked about that, how great it would be for D.C. to have a soccer-specific stadium, and we talked about how, like, they're the 12th man, and Devin spoke about it from a player's perspective about how much of an impact, like you're saying, Eric, how much of an impact they do have on the play, and, you know, and I think all of us have said, well, how could you imagine how that impact would be tenfold if it was a great stadium like that?
Yeah.
That's 500 fans on the road. Now imagine the normal, you know, crew at home. Wow.
Yeah. Let's go ahead, Devin.
It'd be the best atmosphere, I mean, in the I think in MLS. But, you know, when that day comes, which it will, let's keep our – we're positive about this, then, you know, we'll make it the best atmosphere in MLS. But
let's look at the attendance there. They sold that thing out, you know. That was a sellout game. And, you know, Philly's a young team. That's a new stadium. And that was just – it seemed like such a great soccer atmosphere. You know, naturally, I'm sorry it didn't go their way if I would have been a Union fan, but it was a great contest to watch. And it's also one of those where I felt like, you know, the domination and the a lot of the possession, and when you watch the highlights, it's all Union, you know, and then to, as B-Mac said, steal a result and drive back home with it was pretty great.
Yeah, those are, you know, I guess Chris was kind of talking about it earlier. Those are the games that, you know, the teams making the playoffs, the teams that are good, walk away with somehow.
Yeah, and exactly.
And it's, you might have to kiss the posts, you know, when you walk off the field and say thank you, but that's what I think sometimes. I mean, look at LA last year. I don't think we're in a position to start comparing the Supporter Shield and MLS Cup champions of LA last year to this year's DC United team, but they walked away a lot of games, 1-0 being outplayed. Getting the shutout, though, you know, they score a goal and they defend, and that's what it takes in this league. So, in any league, really. It's encouraging, especially off the long break where they were kind of stealing results, but at home, I thought. So to steal a result on the road and an Eastern Conference team was very positive.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Big statement. Yeah. Go up there and you beat.
And
whether or not Philly's playing well this season, or obviously they just have a new coach and they have stuff going on, but, you know, it's game to game. You got to beat them and you make a big statement. You definitely didn't want to lose that game, right? That would have been a bigger statement. Yeah. So to go up there, you win, it's great. It shows that even though there was a lag and maybe they didn't come back as crisp as they could have, they still got the results and, you know, they're just picking up right where they left off, at least where the points are, you know, concerned.
Exactly. And that's where it matters. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
I mean, they can play all the pretty soccer they want and not points, and it's kind of pointless. So,
At the end of the season, no one says, how pretty were your games? They say, which did you win?
Exactly.
You
know?
We got a win column. Granted, DC's always like to play pretty soccer and win. So.
Yeah.
There's a balance there. Well, what were you, man of the match? Who do you guys think?
I don't know. You know, there was some really good defending. You know, there were a lot of times, you know, Bill Hamid stopped a lot.
Bill had a good game. I completely agree with that. I thought he had a good game. Very good.
I may give it to him for the clean sheet.
Okay.
And for a couple of pretty balletic saves, including the sort of graceless collision with Valdez.
Yeah, he was pretty aggressive, but that's what we like out of him.
I do, yeah.
Chris, what do you think?
I think I'll just have to give it to Pontius. I mean, his in the right spot at the right time was kind of an example of them, you know. Maybe he didn't play that well the entire game, or as well as we've seen him, and same with DC, but it doesn't matter. He was where he needed to be right when he needed to make it happen, and he finished that shot. You know, it wasn't that easy to get on the end of that one, right? It's kind of tailing away from the you know, from the goal, and he just barely gets his foot on it, and, you know, just steps out there, good timing.
Yeah, and the ref didn't know how to count that either, right? So that was a little bit, you know, he waved it off at first, and then Math kicked it back up, and then they're like, oh, wait, it's a goal.
Right.
What do you think, Devin? Who's your guy?
I think collectively as a whole, the defensive unit, I mean, you saw BMAC doing his thing, you know, winning balls in the air, winning, winning tackles. I thought Dayon had maybe the best game I've seen all year. I mean, we haven't seen a whole lot of Dayon with injuries and the national team duty, but, I mean, some of his tackles were extremely timely. I remember there was a square ball. I think it was in the first half, and he had to go in and win it. Where it was coming right down their throats, and he made one of his lunging tackles and got it right, and and that's what it takes from a center back, and I thought he had a great game.
I noticed two of those from Woolard as well. I mean, when it was basically 1v1, and he slid in there and won that ball.
Yeah,
that's a good shot.
Yeah. Can I give it to Boskovic?
Go ahead. Yes. Thank you. He's my number two, by all means.
Did the game change when he came in, or, I mean...
Yes, he's a game changer.
How many goals have we seen in the last four games come from Boskovic?
From his foot. At least one per game, right? I mean, I don't have that stat in front of me, but it sure feels like it.
And granted, he hasn't gotten the assist, per se, but the ball, I mean, off-corner kick, getting in dangerous spots and knocking in rebounds.
Yeah, and places where he's begun the play, and he's you know...
Right.
Been the one to start the ball towards that direction, then it goes in the goal. You're absolutely right. Yeah, he was my number two for that. Like, after I said Hamid, I was thinking, you know, that set piece started with Bronco.
Yeah, I mean, it was a phenomenal ball. I remember they had a perfect camera angle of it. He was lined up, and you could kind of see exactly where he was going. And he put it right on the spot. And Chris mentioned it. Credit to Chris Pines. That's not an easy goal. It comes to three or four guys, and
You're trying to time it behind that crowd. It's not like he had a clear look at it. He's running, trying to get behind the group, and still
he's in the air. He does a little leap. Yeah, so that, you're right. It's totally not easy.
So I never saw a real slow motion version of it. Did he stick his foot out, or is the ball that perfect that just hit him on the run?
No, he kind of sticks his foot halfway through his step. You know what I mean? So it's not a perfect stride. Little, he kind of has to give it that extra little lunge, but he gets on it and just puts it right in there. It's perfect.
And a very subtle tap, too, you know, because it's really easy to just, you know, let your spasm go and that way over, as you see so often.
Right.
He was, because you can see how he let his foot give a little, kind of slow the ball down even, I think, more than put more momentum on it.
Right.
Yeah.
Sweet.
I agree. It was a great goal.
Yeah.
That's his sixth goal this
great.
Year.
What did they say in Scotland?
What did they say in Scotland?
I said great goal.
Great goal.
As they say in Scotland.
Devin's wily tonight. I like it. I like it. That was Pontius' sixth goal, which I thought was an interesting statistic because a lot of people spoke about like how he was having a good year last year, and had he not gotten injured, maybe United could have made the playoffs. But then you look and half as many games or a little bit more, he's got one less goal. So I think he's definitely having a career year, you know, coming off an injury. A lot of people were wondering if he'll have a good year, if he'll be able to get back to where he was last year. And it looks like he definitely has, and maybe even more so, you know.
He's also saying, hey, coach, look what I can do up top.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't like running up and down the flank, coach.
Sure.
Yeah. Well, so it's good to keep an eye on him, man. Pontius, I mean, I think he'll definitely have his career year, but, it's nice to see him come back and be good, if not even better. What did you guys think about the lineup? Were you surprised to see D-Row in there?
I'll jump in this one. I was a little I wouldn't say surprised. I was a little thrown off. I guess they got back from international duty than I was.
Yeah.
My calendar was off a few days, if you will. But, you know, for me, D-Row, I think he kind of looked tired. I don't know what you thought, and I'm in no position to judge him. Him tired is still probably one of the, if not the best player on the field. But I felt kind of like Philly exploited him a bit in terms of, you know, keeping possession in the midfield and finding the spots that he has been doing a good job of, you know, getting behind the ball, and I felt like he was kind of drifting a bit and not really worrying about his defensive responsibilities as much. And granted, maybe, you know, maybe they wanted him to do a little bit more of a free roaming against Philly, since, you know, Philly has kind of a young a back line that has leaked goals all year long. So, you know, we don't know what's going on in the locker room. But for me, it wasn't his best outing, but just having him on the field is dangerous, you know?
Yeah, he's very solid even when he's tired. I thought he looked leggy. And,
yeah.
And I was counting the schedule as well. I'm like, what time did he get back, you know? So, but you're absolutely right that he, in a compromised state, is still better than X percent of all players out there. So,
yeah.
they might have been pushing back on him on that. By all means, I saw a couple balls that I thought he could have gone for and maybe just kind of like did a feint at, you know, didn't quite run after. But
I know what you're talking about. Yeah,
they were sort of, I felt like they were sort of banging us up to, well, they had a bunch of good chances early. So, you know, the match was a nail biter for me because it seemed like, you know, it's one of those things where I'm watching, I'm like, dang, it's all down in our end, you know. And the Farfan brothers collectively, when they're having an on day, they can really move the ball. And they read defenses pretty well. And, Chris, to something you said earlier, you know, sometimes when a team loses a coach, it refocuses them. And that's what I was concerned with going into the game. We didn't get to chat before about that. But I was a little worried that they were going to, you know, have a super solid performance to say, hey, look, we're the new improved Union, you know?
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, like Devin pointed to Pontius saying, hey, coach, look, here I am. Now all of a sudden you got a whole roster and a set of subs, you know, saying the same thing in one game, right? Everybody's wanting to make everybody wants to get their name out there in front of the new coach, and, you know, everything's up for grabs again, you know what I mean? Playing time, roster spots, positions, it's like starting over, you know?
Yeah.
So they're fighting for jobs too. If the team doesn't improve, right, which, you know, then they're going to have a complete overhaul. So,
yeah,
you know, everyone has something to prove when you're in a situation the way that the situation Philly's in right now.
That might be what Eric noticed too about them banging us up. Everybody was kind of being more aggressive, more physical.
Mm-hmm. They had a little bite to them. You're right. They had a little bite. It's that Philly mentality, you know.
Right. Speaking of the Philly mentality, I like the fact as a D.C. Sports fan that we got to return the favor and send some people up the road to their games, right? It's always a big deal. Philly fans like to come down here and, you know, fill the stadiums for baseball games, football games, you know. So send a little message to them that we could do the same. But on the field – oh, go ahead.
That when the Nats play the Phillies,
and the same with the Redskins. There's a lot of talk about Eagles fans coming up, buying up the tickets, you know. So, what did you guys think? We kind of touched on, like, last week. We were wondering if the weather and especially like the long layoff would have an impact. Do you think that it did? I mean, they obviously weren't playing their best game of the season. Do you think it was part of the big layoff or not? What do you think, Eric?
Hard to say, you know. Sometimes rest is your worst enemy. Sometimes it's your best friend. I know that they got a couple matches in. It probably added a little layer of rust on them, but at the same time, maybe it let some dings heal. You know what I mean? I'm gonna give you one of those I'm sitting on the fence answers. There are parts about it that probably helped them. There are parts about it that might have made them slower.
Yeah, you're right. There's a fine line, you know. I mean, I always heard of teams of when you have a layoff like that, to where players get literally 5 days off, and it's nice mentally to get away and, you know, whether it's, you know, beach time with your family or what have you, just get out of the city a little bit. It's another thing, and to rest your body, but it's another thing to have too much time off, and there's a fine line between too much time and then there's and working the guys too hard because you're trying to stay in shape. So,
yeah,
you know, I don't know what their schedule was. It just seemed, I mean, I know they had those open cups in there, but it just seemed, I don't know. I don't know if they just weren't really at the start of the game ready for what Philly threw at them. I don't know if they were tired. I mean, you know, we mentioned D-Row was tired. He obviously had a very busy schedule. but they just weren't crisp, and I don't know. I think it's one of those things where you do need to get away, personally, as a player. You don't want to – when you see where you have a gap between games, you like to say, you know, let's get 2 or 3 days. Let's get out of here. Let's get away from the locker room and – I love you guys, but I don't want to see your faces for the next 3 days. And
right, yeah.
The body. And you know, that was always kind of my mentality, and I felt like that, that didn't happen. Then you came back a little, the next game you weren't really chomping at the bit to get back. So, I don't know what Ben did. I mean, obviously they got a great result, so I don't know what the schedule was, but as a player, that was always my take on what happens. This is what I want to do when we get time, when we have some, a couple weeks between games, but that doesn't always happen.
Gotcha.
Did I just bump it for a half an hour? How, what happened there?
No, it's good. No, you're gonna have the best perspective of us of mentally what happens, if it's good, if it's bad, if it, you know. I mean,
I just went through the whole thought process there. I mean, you know, and that's difficult as a coach to say, hey guys, maybe he talks to him. You know, maybe he says, hey, what do you guys want? Do you guys need time off? You guys want to keep training just lightly? Do you want to go hard for a couple? You know, and that's probably where Benny comes in, because he knows that. Obviously, it's still fresh in his mind. It's only been, what, 3 years. So, you know, I'm sure he did a good job of that. And they walked away with the win, so whatever he did, just keep it up, Benny.
Exactly.
Keep doing it.
Did you guys see the article in the Washington Post by your buddy Steve Goff there? He is talking about the attendance. We mentioned that a few podcast episodes ago where we spoke with Mark Washoe kind of about the attendance issues. And his article today was the title was Despite the Upbeat Season, DC United's Attendance and Down. Basically, he's just talking about even though they're having a great season, they're in first place, they got a returning MVP, people just aren't showing up, you know. And they got in a few different reasons for that. What do you guys think? One of his reasons was, that the schedule has been kind of wacky, right? So they started off front-loaded with a bunch of home games, and then of those games, weather wasn't exactly cooperative. And, you know, so there's a lot of these kind of excuses. What was some of the other things they said? That they hadn't won for a while, so it's taking people a while to get back. I don't know if I buy it, you know. I'm sitting here and I'm watching the National Stadium get full for, you know, a home series against the Yankees, and I'm thinking they're not in first place, you know. They're not –
You know what? I think we've talked about this. You know, I hate to say it, but RFK is not the friendliest place to go. I mean, when you start thinking about it, what do you picture? You're like, there's a lot of dust, you know, down by that river with all the trash in it. Far be it from me to say, but not necessarily the best neighborhood.
Right.
Kind of clunky to get to from either side of the suburbs.
Mm-hmm. Not just the not best neighborhood, not exactly the most happening neighborhood. There's not one bar to go to. Well, you just where are you gonna go? You know, there's nowhere to go. You can't have dinner before, like if you go to Chinatown or over there, and you know. So I think I'm in agreement with you, Eric. I think that's right now the biggest thing is that if you're gonna take your family from the suburbs or if you're gonna go down there after work, what are you gonna do? You know, obviously the loyal fans are there, but
yeah, but we're going down in terms of where we should be going up.
Right, exactly. Because the loyal guys are going to be there all the time. 500 of them travel to Philly, so they're definitely committed. It's the kind of you know, passive fans, right? The fans that might hit up one game a season. Why aren't they getting those people?
Fake fans.
Yeah, exactly.
Fan.
I wonder what it is, man. I'm interested. I think there's a lot of blame on the stadium, but could they do more? I know they do like to kind of lot 8 stuff, but what if they did more stuff in the front, outside of the stadium, you know, outside of the armory, kind of leading into it, like a big block party or just something to build an environment or, you know, an atmosphere outside of the stadium, you know?
Speculation. I don't know. What do you think, Dev?
I don't know. I don't know what can be done. I mean, you know, I think a huge part of it's kind of the stadium. And you know, mentioned there's no bars or restaurants around. And I agree with that. There, obviously, I mean, you know, that'd be nice to have that, like at the Verizon Center, like you mentioned. But yeah, if, you know, fans were coming before. I mean, you know, everyone's known that. So fans used to come,
right?
You know, and so maybe it's just the fact that RFK is getting older and falling down and more decrepit by the minute. So,
well, you know what else? The casual fans aren't aware that we're doing really well this year. I hear people, saying things when they see me wearing, you know, black and red colors. They're like, oh, is DC not winning any games lately? And I'm, you know what my answer is. But it's sort of like casual suburban parents who have kids in youth sports are sort of not following United, aren't aware of the fact that they're in first place and that they're winning all their games. This would be a great season to pick it back up. There may be that sort of caterpillar curve, you know what I mean? That if they do great this season and we're still stuck at RFK, that numbers will be better next time. But honestly, my theory is that, I hate to say it, but that RFK is a cancer, and that what the team needs is a new home where people could start fresh, like, and get excited about, hey, let's go see them. Let's go see this great new facility. I looked at Stade Saputo last week where the Impact played, and, you know, it's just – there are times when it's kind of like a little running joke with myself, but there are other times where I just get frustrated and say, you know, it's really, in a way, disgraceful that D.C. does a lot of things, but they can't figure out how to put a soccer stadium up.
Yeah.
Oh, no. It's, you know, it's ridiculous. And, you know, I remember who were the Kansas City Wizards. That's the name that they had, yeah. And there would be 4,000 people in Arrowhead Stadium. And they were a good team. And
yeah, they were winning.
I mean, they're obviously a good team this year as well. But they just, you know, they got the stadium and bam.
Okay, let's look at that. You're right. But they did more than just the stadium. They did a whole push. You know, they renamed themselves. They marketed the whole thing. They reached out to fans. They built this great, like, supporter area. So when you go in there, you feel like you get this VIP experience. Every fan gets this sort of VIP experience. It was very smart and very well done on their part in terms of their branding and their outreach and the rollout of the new stadium. They got so much energy and excitement generated out of that. You know, my hat's off to them. They did it really, really well, and they've got great attendance. They've got a beautiful facility, and their club is winning.
Well, Eric, you say, like, you know, the regular fan or the well, – what did you say?
Just, casual.
Yeah, the casual fan doesn't really know about it. Maybe that's marketing. Maybe the marketing department's not doing a good job to let people know, hey, let's celebrate. We're in first place, you know. This is a big deal. I mean, we're doing what we can do as fans, you know. We're trying to do a little podcast, talk about it, celebrate it, enjoy it, be happy about it, acknowledge it. But what about the marketing? You got to market the fact you have a returning MVP and you're in first place, right? In a city that's starved for winners.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not like people have other choices to say, well, this team's winning, or, you know, we just won the Super Bowl or this or that. That hasn't happened for 20 years. So, you know, get on it, man. Get it out there. They did a big marketing push when the season started. How about round two and let people know that it's been a successful season and you might want to come out and check it out. You know what I mean?
I hear you. Hey, listen, I hate to say this. I've got to jump off here and go back to the set. So here's what I want to say. Beat the Red Bulls. Keep up the good work. Shout out B-Mac, everybody who went golfing today with United for D.C. Good for you guys. I'd have been there, but I had to work. Bless you, fans of United. Bless you, supporters. You guys keep talking while I jump off of here, all right?
All right. See you later, Hollywood.
Sorry, I got to bail.
So busy, man.
Time to make the movie. All right, see you guys. Bye.
See you, dude. You know, I was gonna say the marketing may be coming. You know, it may be coming, saying, hey, you know, this is what we have on the field. You guys need to come see it. You know, we'll see about that. But another thing is, this United, as great of an organization it is not in the best financial situation. You know, they're wasting tons of money being at RFK and only have one owner at this point in time. Mm-hmm. Hopefully that'll change here in the next, at least, hopefully, latest by fall. We'll see. But, you know, they might just not have the pockets just to say, hey, guys, we're out here. Come watch it.
Right. Yeah, maybe they are, you know, leaning on and depending on people like us and other fans and people to get the word out, you know. So.
Yeah, it's it's tough, and I agree. It's you have a team that's doing as well as they're doing, and you want people to come out and see it, and obviously the – real supporters who have been there day or every game are going to continue to come out, and it's the casual ones. But let's also keep in mind that they school just let out. Summertime's going to start in full swing here. Maybe we'll start seeing the club season's over. Maybe we'll start seeing some of those soccer parents and that have you know, been busy taking their kids to other cities for tournaments and
right.
come and start watching, get grilling in lot eight and start watching some United games at home. So
there you go.
Maybe by fall it'll completely change ways in terms of attendance.
I hope so, and they deserve to have a good attendance because there's definitely good action out there to check out right now. So I mean,
yeah,
you know, it's not just like, oh, support your local team just because you have a team. You have a good team, so
yeah, absolutely.
They're gonna be heading up to New York next week, and then New York's kind of in the middle of one of their like 3 games in 7 day schedule situations, you know.
And, I like that.
Yeah, and from what I could see, it looks like Thierry Henry hasn't played since, like, May 23rd. I don't know. Is he injured?
He's dealing with a bit of a hammy issue, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, but they went on a tear without him.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, they still have Kenny Cooper, who's he's a goal-scoring machine right now, right? He kind of comes and goes throughout MLS teams, you know?
They got a pretty good combination up top when Thierry is healthy between him and Cooper. I mean, it's
right.
Thierry Henry, I think, hands down MVP at halfway point right now. I mean, he's
definitely.
So you know, this is the team that scares me. They're playing at home. Speaking of not having the greatest fan support, it's such a shame because they have a beautiful stadium and
mm-hmm.
a pretty quality team. But they're starting to get William Conde, who is, I think, one of the best defenders. When he's healthy and when he wants to play in MLS, and he's starting to get healthy and playing. I know he was dealing with some personal issues, so I'm not sure if we'll be seeing him against DC. But you know, this is a team that has good players, and when they want to play, they can certainly be a force to be reckoned with, as they say, as those kids say.
Yeah, hopefully United got some of that rust off from that game in Philly and will look a lot better and more sharp in this game because they'll need to. That's a loaded lineup, and like you say, you know, when they want to play, they can be. And they spent some time in first place, and, you know, if Thierry Henry comes back, that's huge. And even without him, they're not a bad team. You know, Kenny Cooper's a big guy. Last time he wasn't, you know, wasn't as big of an issue as we thought, but always those big guys – I tend to think are more difficult to deal with, you know. And then Dax McCarty, right, former DCU guy. You spent some time with Dax.
D-Mac, yep.
Always seems to have a thing or two to say, huh?
Yeah, he's a good player. He's a good player. He was, you know, didn't find a role here.
Right.
But they seem to, you know, lately, I guess, dropped him back in a little deeper midfield role. And just his job is to kind of clean up everything in front of the back four, and he's been doing a good job of that and keeping possession. And so, you know, he's starting to – he's playing really well. So.
Yeah, he just picked up the team's only goal in Chicago last week, and they actually played tonight too. So I guess we can check it out later tonight and see who played. You know, if Thierry Henry doesn't start, maybe he'll get some minutes and we can get an idea of what to expect this weekend, you know.
Yeah.
But those schedules, the 3 matches in 7 days, always a little bit difficult. But now the weather, I don't know about up in New York, but it was brutal today. It was like pushing 100, you know.
This is when it gets tough. This is when, you know, this stretch of summer is when if you have a good roster and fit players, you can make a move. And if your roster's thin and your players are starting to get a little worn down, then this is when you can really drop some valuable points. So.
Right.
You know, I think DC's roster is built for this time of year to make a move. So, you know, test everyone up. For the most part, everyone's gotten a chance to play and done really well.
Exactly. I mean, even guys like 3-deep, like Neil, you know, it's just the layoff, the good part about the layoff that I don't think we really touched on was the fact that, like, they're probably the most healthy they've been maybe even since the beginning of the season, you know.
Absolutely, yeah.
Now less guys are injured, but they're also fit, you know. When the hamstring injuries, have you ever carried, like, one of those hamstring injuries or had to deal with one of those throughout a season or anything?
Yeah, they're annoying.
And then you get the heat, right? So you're talking about maybe cramping up on top of that or, you know.
Yeah.
It's not exactly the easiest thing to come back from, and especially, you know, Henri's fast. He uses speed up top, so that's a huge part of his game, you know what I mean?
He is a fast man.
He's amazing. Last year, I went to the New York game, and he scored multiple goals, and I'm just watching, thinking, it's unbelievable how athletic and nimble this guy is. He's huge. He's a big guy. I don't know if people realize how big he is. He's not Kenny Cooper big, but he's still a big guy.
I think he is huge. He's a boy. There's not many people that, especially forwards, that stand next to Dejan Jakovic and you think, wow, Dejan, you are not that big.
Right. But his style of play is not he's not a brute like a bull. He's, you know, he's not like Hasley of Vancouver, you know, he's just just power his way through and take shot after shot. I mean, he just has the amazing little touch, his pass. I mean, he's sick. Of course he's MVP. He's just amazing, and you know, hopefully we can beat him.
Yeah, I know, right?
A little revenge, man.
Keep him off the board.
Because he's a little bit cocky, that guy.
He's, I don't know. I've always heard he's a nice guy. I don't know him personally. But he is a handful, that is for sure. So our backs will certainly be tested. And, you know, Dudar, who we haven't seen in a long time, I can't really figure out, is he healthy or not?
I mean, I looked on the injury report. They don't have him on there. So.
Yeah. Actually, you're right. I forgot about that. So he did a good job handling him last time we played him. So it'll be interesting to see if they make a change or if they stay with BMAC and Jakovic. I mean, like we've always said, if it was successful, you want to really change it. So
yeah, Benny he's kind of back to that cycle at the beginning of the season of a lot of different options, right? He started with a ton of options, and he seemed to make the right decisions and got things clicking. And then as injuries went, he made good decisions with what he had left, and then had a little break. Everybody's back, and he's got a lot of options to pick from again. So we'll see if he can work his magic.
Yeah,
I think he can.
Got some stuff up his sleeve, I'm sure.
I'm sure he does. So we talked about the play on the pitch tournament, right?
It'll be a cool event where it's still in works, and we figured out all the details, but now we're trying to promote it and get some cool sponsors and
sell some prizes. Now they're giving away some gear prizes along with the playing on the pitch for the final game.
Yeah, that's kind of, you know, it's a fundraiser. So I've seen some I've spoken with some people, and it's all about raising funds for the Crohn's and the colitis. And so, yeah, check it out, playonthepitch.com. It's an adult 5v5 tournament, small goals, so no goalies necessary. And the final is going to take place on RFK Field after the September 23rd game against Chivas. So it'll be a little chance to get down and on the pitch at RFK and see what it's like to play where the team in first place so far is playing.
Right.
So it'll be a good event. I'm looking forward to seeing the turnout and seeing the skills.
Hopefully we can get a Fans of United team together, right?
Yeah.
We haven't committed 100% yet because I'm getting feedback from Eric. And a lot of people are saying, yeah, that'd be great. Let me get back to you. So
right.
Got to get in there, man. Give me the yes. And how many teams do you guys have registered right now? Do you know?
I think we have two or three. I mean, you know, we pretty much opened registration about a week ago, and
okay.
I think it's kind of the same boat. We still haven't started fully marketing it yet, so it's kind of just at the point of, you know, hearsay and talking about it. Yeah, that'd be fun, but in terms of teams actually registering and signing up and committing to it is not a full get. Like I said, I think there's only two or three right now. So
is there a maximum number of teams that are going to be allowed to register? Or are they going to cap it at any number?
We're looking to get around 24 teams,
okay.
So,
nice.
Yeah, that'll probably, I mean, that's a pretty big tournament, so I think that's kind of the idea is 24 teams, but, you know, you never know, things can change.
Yeah, I sent an email to all the SYA coaches and the office people telling them we should get a SYA coaches team out there, you know.
All right.
We're all supposed to be, know what we're talking about, so let's see them get out there and prove it. Right.
I'd love to see that.
It'd be good stuff, man. There's definitely enough people that should be able to play. I think 24 teams, I think we can make it happen. We'll get
and you know, it's five to ten players per team, so it's
yeah, it's not bad.
Yeah, it's not bad. It's not bad. So and you know, with you can split the fundraising between 10 players, it doesn't really amount to a whole lot per player, so
yeah, might have to get a couple podcast teams out there to compete, you know. Get a little bragging rights.
I like that. Yeah, podcast versus podcast. I like that.
There we go. Do you have any shout-outs? I mean, obviously that's kind of a shout-out, but do you have anything else going on? Any?
No. I mean, I don't really have much of a shout out right now.
Yeah, I mean, I guess Soccer Post, like Eric said, you know, that's, they're always supporting. Seems like that we keep running into those guys and keep supporting everything. So those are great guys. And of course, I want to do a little butt kissing because we got our new Adidas contract with SYA, the club I coach for. So Adidas is going to be providing all the uniforms. And from what I hear, it's a pretty sweet coaching package. So I want to get it before everyone else does, you know.
Nice.
Might have to make a couple visits over there, see if I can sneak a couple of those coaches' packets out, and for testing purposes only, of course, you know.
Of course, of course, of course.
I mean, how are you going to beat free clothes, man?
I it's tough to beat that. That free beer or free clothes, you know?
Yeah, man. Free beer, like clothes of beer companies. There you go.
Yeah.
Free beer movement, isn't that one soccer thing?
I have no idea.
So one shout-out I'd like to do would be a kind of combined shout-out to this guy, Brad Melvin. He's a fan. He contacted us on Twitter, and he had tickets for us for the Fox Soccer MVP kind of
I know. That party. Sounded pretty cool. I was kind of bummed I couldn't do that. But
oh, man.
Yeah, thanks, Brad. Appreciate
it. Yeah, appreciate it. It was even worse. I work right up there, you know, right above for
the yeah.
So I was like, when I realized I couldn't go, I had totally spaced, and my kid had his end-of-season soccer party. You know how you said seasons were wrapping up, so
yeah.
I can't bail. So it was like Father's Day weekend. I'd be the worst dad ever.
Yeah.
But I did take a picture. It looked amazing, and I thought, this is what they need to do for – someone needs to sponsor this or do this kind of thing for away games, you know, for DC United away games, right? Just cruise around the town in like a big limo-style bus, multiple TVs. I don't know, man.
That would be sweet.
If I had the funds, I would definitely back that. But so thanks to Brad Melvin and also Fox Soccer, Alex Caulfield. You know him from the DC United
days.
Yeah,
he's the man, dude. He's the man.
And then also, so I met him. I've had plenty of email interaction with him. But to meet people in person is always better, you know. So
Alex was here in DC?
Yeah. He works for Fox Soccer now.
Yeah, I knew that.
Yeah, so I walked into Fido, and I was, like, trying to hook it up for the next day because we couldn't do it Friday. And there he was, and I introduced myself, and he's like, I've had email conversations with you from the VA Soccer. And so I was like, what? And he said he used to work with DC United, and then I remembered that. I kind of pieced it all together after that, you know.
Yeah, dude. So, he's the man. He's
a
man.
Big guy, man, and he was willing to let us go again Saturday. We couldn't make it either, but – And then, of course, your old teammate, right, Santino Quaranta, was outside, so I just had to do it, man. I just had to introduce myself, you know. And
say what's up?
Yeah, just, you know, why not, right?
Yeah, absolutely. What was he doing?
He was cruising around, man. He was like the celebrity guest on the Fox Soccer MVP bus. So I saw some pictures of him, like, during the – people had – taking pictures of themselves with Santino when he was on there, you know, just showing support, I guess, man. He's doing I'm not speaking for him, but I'm pretty sure I talked to Eric about it. Isn't he doing the he's somehow connected to the Baltimore Bohemians, is that right?
He's got his own club. I'm not sure if it's the Bohemians. I know it's called Pipeline,
right? He does training and stuff.
I think he's like running the club.
Okay, very cool.
Yeah.
And didn't he go, like, over to Asia or somewhere for a while on a short contract after United?
He went to India for a bit.
Yeah, India. That's crazy. Sure. Was that, like, some small league? Do you know anything about that?
I don't. They were starting a Premier League. They call it the India Premier League, I think. And they were trying to – Echeverry was actually the coach of the team that he went to. I don't know. Like I mentioned, I tried to call him.
Right.
When you told me you saw him, and I didn't get through, and – I want to hear about that experience. I mean, Echeverry was a coach. I heard the league signed Cannavaro and Hernan Crespo, so they're trying to bring some big boys over, you know?
Right.
To try to get it going. So, yeah, I'd like to hear how that went.
We'll have to reach out and keep reaching out to him. Speaking of Hollywood, he's probably a big Hollywood guy, you know? He has the Hollywood look, right?
He does have a Hollywood look, dude.
All right, man. Well, it's good to be back on a regular schedule. I guess we'll check it out this weekend. Hopefully we can handle New York. And, you know, D.C. United's on top, and we're going to stay there for a while. So,
right on.
We, you know, fans. That's, fans love to say we, right?
Yeah, you're part of it. You're the 12th fan.
There you go.
You're the 12th fan. We are the 12th man.
Yeah, man. And I think the other thing is maybe coming up in July, mid-July, we're going to be doing a episode 3 video episode. So Eric's going to have a little break, and we'll try to hit that up somewhere.
All right. Looking forward to it. Yeah. A little FaceTime for us all.
Exactly. It'll be good stuff, man.
What we need.
All right, so from everybody here, from Eric, who's too busy and making movies.
Yeah, typical Hollywood, you know, just gives a little bit of his time.
Yeah, I think he's on his iPad. He rolled in, like, on his iPad.
That's awesome.
Very high tech. So, all right, guys, till next time. See you. Good luck this weekend for United.
All right, guys, thank you.